Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. A quick rant of truth today. Hope you're doing well. A quick lesson on how to look at life as a free society and how not to, via a short anecdote, a story. Someone had shared with me on Telegram this photo where someone is questioning what is going on. Neil Armstrong's suit is on display at the Smithsonian or somewhere. And they're saying, well, this is interesting. Look at the bottom of his boot. And look right here, the famous stepping on the moon tracks with the little waffle pattern or whatever it would be, the zigzag pattern of the treads. And looking at the bottom of the suit at the Smithsonian, there's no zigzag treads. So somebody said, what's going on here? Well, it turns out it's explainable, which is fine. But the tone that some articles took to condescend to somebody asking a question. Now, this is not easily understood until people started looking into it. And I guess my lesson here is that it is okay to ask questions that have pregnant implications. There's nothing wrong with crowdsourcing and going, what is going on here? Well, supposedly the quick answer is just that there's an overboot. But that's not an easy answer. I mean, it's a good question to go, why do these not match? What is going on here? We have to be able to ask questions where you're looking at evidence and going, what is going on here? This does not match. If some questions are supposed to be off limits, and in this case, one of the stories was like, how are these awful people? And I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but these horrible people, I can't think of the exact words that they used, dared to ask a question about why the footprints on the moon don't match the boot that is literally supposed to be Neil Armstrong's boot. And the fact that there's an overboot is a good answer to that. However, it does not make the person who asked the question the bad person. The question can and should be crowdsourced. Now, maybe it shouldn't just be put out there with the implications of, you know what's going on, don't you? But it's still a good question. You have to ask it. And you should ask it. So why shouldn't it be crowdsourced? And then, of course, then it goes into this, you know, very viral meme. But why is it viral? Because it's a good question. And if it's answered well, then good. The question is answered well. Now, it does imply that you should look to see whether this question has been answered before you forward the meme. You should look. But that doesn't take away from the idea that it was a good question to begin with. Anytime you get that type of thing, you should say, hey, the internet may have answered this at this point. And if it has, you should evaluate that answer and see if it's full of it or if it seems valid and proper and the question and the case is open and closed. But again, that doesn't take away from the original question. Yes, you should and could easily go, you know what, I'm not going to forward that on until I find out whether the internet has answered this in a reasonable and obvious way. Oh, an overboot. Well, that is an easy and obvious way. It could be that they're in suits. They put on suits first inside the capsule there on the moon, the lander. And then before they step outside, they put on one more layer. Now, if that's true, then that is a good answer. But it doesn't mean the question should not be asked. In fact, in a free society, you must ask that question. And anybody who's going, how dare you ask a question about why the print does not match the boot? How dare you? Who are you to ask that question? Is really coming from a tyrannical point of view, whether they know it or not. And I'll leave you with this, by the way. If you want to know really, and I don't think I've ever shared this on this podcast, But you can go find a certain person, if you would recognize the voice, is looking at the on YouTube. It's still there under a pseudonym, because here and there, I just don't like working with video, honestly. But I did the video analysis on this Apollo 17 liftoff, where it's the last time they're on the moon. They lift off, and just long story short, the physics do not follow the known engine capability of what would have lifted off the capsule from the moon. They just don't follow it. It's a one and only time the lunar module has ever lifted off from the moon and caught on film. And literally, it just does not follow physics and doesn't come close. In other words, for instance, it should have been 2 feet off of the module lander after 1 foot, after 1 second of liftoff. And in fact, you can find, and what I did was find the where someone had done a cheerleader, a physics guy who was a cheerleader and wanted to, hey, I've got all the specs of the chemical reaction rocket lifted off the moon. It should have been, literally, he had all the specs, and literally the specs are findable. And this is the easiest physics question in the world. It is literally that if you apply the same force to an object at rest against a known resistance, which is the gravity of the moon, then you have to gain momentum. Mass equals momentum times velocity. Rather, I'm getting that wrong. But M equals MV. And so if you want to know the velocity, you have to... I'm getting that wrong still. But the point being that if you look at a rocket taking off, it's because a force is applying against an object at rest. And therefore, over every certain second period or certain time period, the latter period, if the same force is applied, will result in greater speed. It's called acceleration. And yet you see on the Apollo 17 liftoff, literally that's not happening. It's totally over... outstripping the literal calculations of what the chemical reaction rocket is going to be able to push against that. And instead it lifts like it's a model on a string. And I'll say this, it's just the truth of the matter is some of the footage, at least, I mean, I can't speak for all of it, but some of the footage is incorrect. It is artificial. It is cheerleading. It is production value. Now, that doesn't mean that we didn't go to the moon, but what it does say is that some of the video footage is just wrong. It's faked. And if you don't believe me, then just go check against physics. And the physics will tell you, and and again, in those videos, I look at no less than someone who is an astronomics, like a physics guy. And has found the specs and said, should be 2 feet off of the lander after about a second. No, it's 10 feet after a second. That you can't have that variance and have it be true. And it should be like 10 feet off of the lander or something like that. You have to go find a video after 2 seconds. No, it's 20 feet or 30 feet after 2 seconds. The variance becomes an impossibility. And the fact that it's going in a linear movement immediately upon liftoff, it is a linear, not a slowly build up and gain altitude. The Apollo 17 liftoff is anti-physics, okay? What the alleged theory is versus the way it took off, it took off in a linear fashion, like they were being sloppy and they were, you know, multiple lunar missions in and like, yeah, let's just throw this in at the end. Now, that's not to say we weren't on the moon, because I'm not even arguing to all that. Now, it does put the whole thing into question, because why would you feel that you needed to be that dramatic and show the liftoff after so many moon missions? There were other things in question. But so to ask that question, that's a side note, that everything is worthy of questioning in a free society. Everything. Go look at the Apollo 17 liftoff. Go find that video. It still only has hundreds of views, as opposed to thousands or hundreds of thousands, when it is the evidence of artificial documentation, of faked documentation of the moon. The evidence. Literally, it is against physics. We know the chemical reaction after it instantaneously delivers a given force. Force equals mass times acceleration. Therefore, if the force against mostly an even mass is against mostly an even mass, then acceleration equals force over mass. So there should be an even acceleration because the force is a given. The mass over a period of seconds, all you're losing is a chemical reaction, the chemical rocket mass, which is fairly minimal versus the rest of the mass. And therefore, the acceleration should be more or less equal, which means there is acceleration. You do not see that acceleration. You see nearly immediately a linear lift from the Apollo 17 lunar module base to go back into that. That evidence is faked. Okay, so after you understand a few of these things, after you understand the AZT crisis that killed people and really harmed the health of everybody else, I've talked about this over and over again, repeatedly, thou the most woke, but in a real sense, awake, not woke, people in the AIDS crisis were the gay community in New York City, where they had the most density of gay people so they could communicate most easily, not the poor people out in Tulsa, where the gay community was much smaller. And they were the most avid ones against AZT because they knew that AZT was devastating their immune system. And they knew to take it repeatedly and over again was to poison yourself potentially to death. Once you understand that, once you understand that the FBI basically led the Warren Commission and came to a conclusion within about 2 weeks of, quote, investigation, and that led the rest of it. Once you understand that no less than a Brigadier General Parton with 30 years of experience retired after 30 years of experience with a specialty in explosives and understanding those explosives and the importance against reinforced targets of hitting the target, not being near it. Once he says that OKC, a brigadier general in the Air Force retired, says, hey, it makes no sense that any of these whole columns should have gone down. There's no way that any of them should have actually collapsed. It should have been debris that caused the deaths, not an entire collapse of the building. And why did these reinforced columns that were further away fail entirely when the fascia on the closest reinforced column did not even fail? Why would that make sense? Why do these, whereby my, based on the size of the crater, by my estimates, and I think maybe even estimates by other people as to the size of the ammonium nitrate bomb, why did these that were further away entirely fail when the closer ones, the fascia didn't even come off, the drywall fascia? And by the way, by my measurements, this is Brigadier General Parton, Benton Parton, these failed at 1/100th their yield strength. There was only 35 pounds at these far columns. How did they fail at 35 pounds when their field strength per square inch, when their yield strength is 3,500? It's as though you have a bench press bar that is ready and can hold probably 1,000 pounds, and it fails at 10. How does that make sense? Something that is designed to any degree and then manifested and made properly doesn't fail at less than 1/100 its design strength. It just doesn't happen. After you understand those three things, among others, you then must understand. Once you understand that even Harry Truman, 17 years at most, I think it was, in 1963, December, barely a month, so you kind of know the implication, said, that is not what I meant for the CIA to do. I did not mean for the CIA to be operational. In fact, I meant them to be an intelligence and neutral intelligence, a neutral and independent intelligence agency to advise me instead of all of the various other places that seem to have motives. I brought that team together to be intelligence gathering, to be fact-finding, not to be operational. Once you understand that even Harry Truman, implying only a month after, and lamenting a month after JFK was assassinated about what had happened to the CIA, once you understand the implications there, once you understand that the CIA went almost immediately operational, once you understand that one of the guys that ended up on the Warren Commission was a part of the CIA, that the JFK, now I'm not saying the CIA was definitely in on it, but it's certainly fishy. I've got my opinions on JFK, but honestly, at any given time, it's mostly suspicions. I haven't really decided among many theories what was what outside of, obviously, Oswald did not act alone. Once you understand that when JFK said, I will break the CIA into 1,000 pieces after he was double-crossed over Bay of Pigs, and then one of the people that he fired ended up being on the Warren Commission, then these are the types of things where you go, we must ask the questions. There are too many lies and deceptions to not be able to ask or to even have for a moment for you to say, how dare these people almost criminally ask the question, why is the bottom of Neil Armstrong's boot that is on the Smithsonian or wherever it was displayed, why does it not have these zigzag patterns famous in the lunar soil? That's a great question. Now, again, it does imply before you pass on potentially garbage, and it's never garbage up front, but once you realize that things stay on the internet for a while, it is not garbage up front, but it is your duty, almost your inherent duty as a citizen. But again, I mean, I'm always going to support free speech, always and forever and ever, because as soon as you start stomping on it, like Trudeau trying to say Meta is not going to allow outside news sources in Canada, there you go, then you're going in a bad place. So, yes, you can ask the question, but also remember, in this day and age, the internet's as close as that meme is. So just go look it up quickly. Maybe it's been answered before you just forward it. It's one thing to go, man, I need to look into that. Or it's one thing to show your friends, go, do you see this? But it's another thing to puke it out into the rest of the world and repost it. Don't do that. Okay? Wonder. Put it aside. Eventually look into it or not before you share it, because it doesn't take long. Now, we've talked over and over again as to when fact checks are the opposite of fact checks, but you can still then go verify and confirm and evaluate the fact check. Is it a real fact check or is it a garbage fact check? Is it a classic Snopes non-fact check fact check? Is it a classic Snopes, let's just working nuance and labeling, and even if you look into our own detail, it doesn't match the thing that the stamp that we put on it. So for a free society to work, and obviously this is no longer a quick rant of truth, for a free society of work, you must be able to go, well, why does that not match this? How does that not make sense? You have to be able to do that. But more importantly, when someone is doing that, even if it seems irresponsible later, A, how is it irresponsible? If I say, hey, how is it that he got convicted and they never had, they never matched the gun to the bullet? How is that? That is always relevant, forever and always. Otherwise, you're working with the nuances of forbidden topics. Remember the famous line, I'm going to paraphrase it. It's not Chomsky. It's I can't remember who it is right now, but give the society an illusion of freedom by allowing vigorous discussion, but only among a narrow band of topics. My mother had been living with me here recently for a while, and she's just stuck on her news like it's 1970s Walter Cronkite or something, that you can trust it. And I tell her, there's the narrow, vigorous discussion. We care about whether Murtaugh's detail, why do we care about the Murtaugh trial detail? They already got him on trial. Apparently, we've got this covered. Why aren't we talking about the more important things from day to day, like January 6th and Ray Epps, and Ray Epps saying, before we go in there, put that down. We don't need to get shot. And literally, that's a guy who's not charged, as he is literally orchestrating and says to his nephew, oh, I orchestrated it. And literally, that's a dude who's not charged when we have political prisoners who are now in prison now. In jail without a trial for over 2 years. And that's the thing we don't get to talk about. We will not discuss. We will hide 40,000 hours of what should be public footage because it's a public building. And yet we're talking about Murtaugh? Why? We've caught him. Okay, he's on trial. Stop. Stop. Good Morning America, whatever, NBC Today. It's like, what are you doing? Talking about the nuances of individual trials. It's vigorous discussion among a narrow range of topics. And then these other topics, you will understand, these are off the board. You do not get to discuss them. Not the way a free society can or should be run. If you see something that says, wait a second, is the president a robot? This is really weird, am I right? It is okay to react to that and share it. I think of this, and I know I'm going really long here, but do you remember how we're like, look at this, Don't F with Cats. This is great Netflix documentary. One of my favorite Netflix documentaries ever, one of my favorite shows of all time. And the idea is, why don't we crowdsource? Isn't that awesome? We can combine together. We can put our combined brain power and our different abilities to focus from one moment to another and share these interesting thoughts and share these interesting observations to go, well, what do you think? This is crazy, right? Hey, look what I just noticed. Oh my gosh, look at that detail in the background. Oh, look what I found in this footage. Oh, look, I went ahead and put the various pieces together and kind of, if you will, virtually put the, you know, the little strings, the threads between the pictures on the big investigation board, the bulletin board. But virtually, look what I did. Yes, you found this, you found this, you found this. Look, I just found a connection between the two. I just tried to sequence them. I found that this person's in the back of this video. That's a person. It's hard to see, but if you look right there, there he is right there, and there he is over here. Look, he seems to be... All of that crowdsourcing is awesome. Now, is it the end of an investigation? No. No, it's not the end of the investigation. But how do you get anywhere if you don't start to try to care and solve it to begin with? What could be better potentially, as long as it doesn't go into mob rule, than to try to vigorously investigate something behind the scenes? As far as hobbies, that's a pretty good one. Again, as long as you don't go into mob rule. So we have to understand that what if the person from Don't F with Cats, and I'm not trying to spoil it, I'll just say it's a potential problem, right? The premise is that somebody anonymously puts up a video abusing cats and then crowdsourced investigation happens. You know, what if they didn't? I mean, do you understand how this is how we can find out a lot of things when investigative agencies are strapped, especially locally? You know, what is wrong with that? That's the purest form of trying to do something right. That's great. Again, as long as you don't go mob rule. You do the investigation, you continue to package it, eventually you get the attention of authorities, and hopefully they have a better start than they would have otherwise. If you think that Dolly Parton is actually a dude named Fred, good. Tell me why you think that. Why is Dolly Parton Fred? If you think Mae West may have been replaced by her brother after she died, because old, and I've seen this, I'm not kidding you, because young Mae West was definitely less mansy than a man hands, to use the Seinfeld term, than older Mae West. But they, fine, go ahead and give me the argument, lay it out. If you think the moon is not just made of cheese, but it's made of blue cheese, and then from Jupiter, it's actually just lit up with a really bright white light, and so it doesn't look like blue cheese, fine, give me the argument. If you think that it's a flat Earth because across Lake Erie, it looks like you can see the entirety of the skyscraper, fine, give me the argument. That's not true. You can't see the entirety of the skyscraper. It just appears to be a decent chunk of the skyscraper. That was probably the most intriguing thing that caught me with Flat Earth, the idea of looking across Lake Superior, or Lake Michigan, I think it is, from 60 miles away. But it turns out it's a little iffy at the very least. let's see. If you think that, I mean, make it up, right? If you think the world's an illusion, if you think it's a holographic universe, fine, make the argument. Why not? If you think that Vladimir Putin is really Zelensky with a mask over him, and there's no war in Ukraine or Russia, then fine, make the argument. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about the most outlandish things you can think of. Make the argument. Awesome. And we can discuss it. And guess what? If you've got a crappy argument, your argument won't win the day. We have to be able to look at the bottom of Neil Armstrong's outfit and say, why is there no zigzag patterns? That is never, and never will it be, anything that in a free society we should go, how dare you? And if a free society, as we are now, we start saying, how dare you ask that question? You are on the way to a society that is not free. You are on the way to Justin Castro Trudeau saying, yep, if Facebook is going to do any business up here as Meta, guess what? You're going to have to communist China it. And we are not going to allow outside news sources to even appear on the platform. Oh, you can have all kind of business here, just so long as you follow those rules. And then we'll separately harass the rest of them. Well, you're on your way to a communist totalitarian approach, wherein those most likely to take on totalitarian outlooks, because they're most totalitarian in their philosophy, get to rule the day. Because totalitarianism draws totalitarians. Wait a second, I'd love to do that. The rest of us are like, yeah, why don't you leave me alone, you scumbags, and let me live my life. And the other ones who want to be totalitarians are drawn to the power of it. That's why you must nip it in the bud. You must know. You must understand that if Neil Armstrong's boots don't have a zigzag on the bottom, you should point that shit out. And then hopefully you do the work, or somebody does the work, and then you go, oops, turns out he had overboots. But that was not easy to find, and I'm glad I at least pointed out so we could get to the bottom of it. And the next thing I see that seems wonky, I'm going to point that out too. And that's just the way it is. All right, that's it for Not a Quick Rant of Truth. But for A Scales of Truth, I'm Tyson Harley. Catch me over on Chemology 411, where we have not made a massive pause in 2023 after a great 2022. We've been keeping on every single week over there as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, thanks for listening.